The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him." Some of them say, "Not have kept this man from dying." Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away this stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you could see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "I thank you for having heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with the strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Today we see grief and glory. Pastor Kathleen said we are celebrating the All Saints. Some of them we have preached on this pulpit, some of them who accused that we are seated. And we remember them for the great work that they have done. I have lost my loved ones. I've lost my dear friends. You have lost your dear ones as well. It is really tough when your best friend dies. It is very painful when your mother, your dad, your son, your spouse dies. When your good buddy dies, it's really painful. When your best friend dies too soon, too young, it's very painful. Cancer, heart attack. Many of you a close friend of ours, or our mother, or dad, or son, or spouse has died. But here is something: people respond differently to impending death and even the reality of death itself. Some deny it, some they become angry, some they blame others. These are various responses. But let's see in our text this morning, there are four primary characters in this story: Martha, Jesus, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. The Bible says here. We know that Martha and Mary's story, and Jesus came to visit their home one day, and Martha, perhaps the oldest, was busy getting the meal ready for Jesus, while Mary sat relaxed, wanting to listen to him to teach. And then there is another story when Jesus was again visiting their home, and in this story, sensitive to Mary's anointment, Jesus feet with oil and then dries his feet with her long hair with loving and gentle kindness. And then Lazarus, the sister's brother, was also Jesus' close friend, maybe one of the very closest friends means God is my help. Jesus was about 30 years old. And my guess is that Lazarus was almost the same age. Now you can imagine Lazarus dying at that tender age. I know. And you know what it feels like to have a close friend die. And the story of Lazarus' death is like that. We are told that when Jesus was told about Lazarus' sickness, he spent 2 days with his disciples before he visited him. And here's the thing, the only viable hope in their time of desperation is delayed. Jesus is late. At least according to the community's calculations, to a family who he loved so dearly, his absence let them down. Sisters of Lazarus sent a word for Jesus without knowing that their faith would be put to test. And here's the story, and our story too. Delay, delay, and delay. And we often ask this is deep, and it nearly overwhelms the fragile hope of God's eventual redemption. But I want to tell you something this morning. Delaying is not denial. Then comes the hard facts that are laid out in the story. Of course, before this story, the scripture we just read, Lazarus is dead. This is the most painful truth. Your father is dead. It could be a text, it could be a phone call, or it could be another relative who has visited you to tell you the news. Your mother has died. Think about the reaction. Think about the response you make. Sometimes you don't just say anything. Your face turns pale and you feel numb. Sometimes quiet. Sometimes you deny it. Your father is dead. In this moment and time, all human hope is now superfluous. But listen here. You know what, my dear friends? Jesus came to go through himself. Jesus came so that all of us could live through pain to resurrection. And now Jesus heads to Bethany. And Martha came out to meet Jesus and gave him an angry earful. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You know, I hear Martha saying, where the hell have you been? Angrily. And we hear again that Mary too approached Jesus with the same testy reproach. But before Jesus could say anything, Mary burst into friends. The Bible says that Jesus was deeply troubled and he was moved. And the Greek word there is the underlying word is that Jesus was shattered with sadness. And what that means, and then comes another shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And the Greek word suggests that Jesus burst into tears. My dear friends, I like this Jesus. I like the Jesus who weeps. I like the Jesus who feels the pain. I like the Jesus who visits and consoles me when my friend, my spouse, my child, or my parents and relatives die. I like this kind of Jesus. The Jesus who is God, but he's the Jesus incarnate who comes and feels the pain like us. So Jesus joins right in with them. Just as I believe Jesus weeps over everyone's losses, everyone of our disappointments, and every one of our failures. And this is not a denial of death. It's an acknowledgement of its reality. Jesus, the Son of God, knows sorrow and weeping. And Jesus can be moved and greatly disturbed. He is moved by our sorrow, my dear friends. When John says Jesus was deeply moved and troubled, his words literally mean that Jesus groaned violently and was shaken to the depths of his being. So weeping is not a sign of lack of faith. And I often hear sometimes Christian, for that matter, oh, please don't cry, all those kind. No, cry and cry loudly. You need to do that. It's therapeutic. And Jesus cried when his friend dies. We see here Mary and Martha and God as the human himself wept tears. And the pain and struggle in the in-between times, my dear friend. And this narrative reveals that tears of lamenting community are not of God's rather of concern. And now, within that Greek word of shudders with the sadness, there is a connotation of anger. And that was what we feel most of the time. We are angry to ourselves, to the family, and angry to God. And again, I want to say that's normal. That's right to be angry with God. And I often say, Psalms are reading on Thursday, I say, Lamentations is holding God on one hand and shaking with another hand in faith. That is very much about something. Angry that Lazarus died too soon and too young, and that hurts inside. We all know that experience. It is part of your life and mine. Like I said, our loved one is going to feel better, don't cry, and all those kind of things. It's actually what Jesus did in this text. Deep in the Old Testament, Lamentations, and it is a funeral song written about the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC. The Babylonian army destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They deported all the able-bodied people of Babylonia. They remained 50 years. Surveying the obvious tragedy of the situation, Jeremiah cried out, "Is this nothing to you, all you pass by?" In the sorrow distanced when others do not see. Senseless ethnic cleansing, the wars of religious hatred, the stuff, ignorance, or the homeless people sleeping in the doorways of our churches and business centers. There does come a time to act in the tradition of Jeremiah, to quit crying long enough to grab the world by the coattails and the scream of ears in the indifferent masses. Is this nothing to you, all you who pass by? If you care, you cannot remain dry silent. So Jesus is at the moment between life and death that awaits him on the cross. And even though he will rise again, just as he will resurrect Lazarus, the fact does not negate and suffering and dying, and he will choose to walk through for our sake. And Jesus finally reached the little village of Bethany and then approached the burial vault of his friend Lazarus. He arrives on the fourth day, the day beyond all hope. But let me tell you something, my dear siblings. On the fourth hopeless day, God helped. The Bible says that he was again deeply moved as he approached the grave. His body again shuddered with sadness. Remove this stone. And Martha, as always, having her own mind, contradicted Jesus and said, "Why? The body has been in the grave for 4 days and it stinks." Then Jesus said a beautiful prayer and cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And he asked some people to unbind him and let him go. My friends, stones that block the flow of life and frustrate God's healing fountain are taken away at Jesus' word. Take away the stone out. Another thing that catches me in this story is that Martha was accompanied by her grieving friends who grieved with her. There is nothing supportive and therapeutic about friends around you who love you to grieve with you. And this is the church. This is what the church often is: a community of Christ's compassion and consolation to one another, gift to offer to those standing by who had seen the acted out of God's glory and believed. He gave the task of unbinding Lazarus, of loosing him from the past and helping him of the new life in Christ. And that is the work of the church. We still live in the world of death. We lose decisions. But if we claim the gift of the new life which Jesus offers us, we will never die spiritually. We will live each day in hope and be willing again and again, even though it hurts, to invest in ourselves, to invest ourselves in the people, our work and love, knowing it is the only way to truly live. Unbind him and let him go. I like these words, my dear friends, because the community needs to assist in the resurrection. Unbind him and let him go. There are some people yearning to live the resurrection lives, but they are still tangled up in burial clothes. They still have the sheets and coverings of death all over them. They are still bound up in something, bound up in bondages, bound up in old arguments, and bound up old sin. And this is where we need the community. We need others, often in the task of the Christian community, to complete the action of resurrection and bind somebody. Where you find someone in bondage, your friend, your wife, your husband, your companion, even a stranger, and bind them. When you find someone struggling to be free, unbind them and let them go. Do not keep the tangled up in the old affairs of sin and death. Those clothes constrict and make us ill. Unbind them. Jesus told his disciples and us to follow him, to love as he loved, to serve as he served, to lay down our lives for others, just like he did. And it is a serious calling that honors us all. We are invited, my dear friends, to do the work of God's redemption, to be part of his church, and help to roll the stones away and remove grave clothes from people in the world who are entombed in fear or loneliness or failure or resentment or wounds. The church is who we feed the hungry and bind them. The stones away and take off all each other's grave clothes, and then joyfully and faithfully do to the same for others in our world. Because as we obey Jesus' command, spring will come. Lenten darkness, repentance and sorrow have their rightful place in us, but Easter resurrection is our destiny. However painful our current circumstances, however agonizing our honest questions about our job losses, our wayward children, financial disasters, and chronic illness, ultimately Jesus will show up and untie us. So, being in a relationship with Jesus means facing death and grief with him and learning that still in spite and the drying and the finality of the door at the entrance of the tomb of our hopes, he can still be said to be alive. Nothing is ever so dead that keeps us from him, from being that in himself. But for us, like Lazarus, Jesus loves us. He weeps for us. He is deeply moved by us. And he brings life to our death, freedom to our bondage, and a shining light to our every darkness. Amen.